So I know I've told you this before, but I absolutely hate pulling weeds. And so this past year, I got a new toy for my yard, and it's called a Flame King. And it's meant to get rid of all of those really annoying weeds, not by pulling them, but at 340,000 BTUs. Check this out. The weeds don't stand a chance.
So confession. Patience is not one of my spiritual gifts. I know for those of you who have been here for a while, you probably know that and recognize that in me. But one of the things I'm finding in my life is that I am a lot better at spotting those weeds in other people's lives than I am my own. You know those weeds that pop up in the driveway that can be so annoying? You spray them, they come back. You torch them, they come back. You start pulling on them and you realize that the roots are a lot deeper than you imagined. And unfortunately, that instinct is not just in my yard. It's also in my soul. Because a lot of problems look surface level until you start pulling on them. And maybe you, like me, struggle. Because you look at the world and you see evil remains. You see that there is a delay in God jumping in and bringing justice. You look at the world and you think it's not the way it was supposed to be. Maybe you look at a church and say it's still pretty messy. And yet somehow through all of it, God continues to work. But the delay for me brings a question. God, why don't you do something? God, it's clear that there are problems in the world. Why don't you do something about it? And Jesus tells a parable just for people like me. And I'm guessing for people like you as well. This is in Matthew chapter 13. Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. And when the wheat sprouted and formed heads, the weeds also appeared. The owner's servant came to him and said, "Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where then did the weeds come from?" "An enemy did this," he replied. And the servant asked, "Do you still want us to go and pull them up?" "No," he answered, "because while you were pulling the weeds, you may uproot the wheat with them. Let both of them grow together until the harvest, and at that time I will tell the harvesters, 'First, collect the weeds, tie them in bundles to be burned, then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn.'" So he tells this story, right? A farmer goes into his field, he sows good seed, and yet then an enemy comes along and sows weeds in among the wheat. And the servants in the field notice this. And they ask a question that I would ask. "Do you want us to go and pull them up?" In other words, do you want me to fix this? I clearly see there is a problem. And I can fix it. That's what I like to do. I'm a fixer. But I think we all do this. We do this in politics. Just remove them. We do it in churches. Well, there's not a place for them here. We do it in parenting. We take them to someone and say, fix them now. We do it online, in the media. Cancel them. Sometimes we do it in families. We're done with them. We think the answer is quicker sorting, quicker labeling, quicker removing. But what does the master say? He says, no, let them both grow together until the harvest. And I'll tell you, I don't like that line. Because it's clear that there's a problem, and it's pretty easy to fix it. But the master delays removal, not because the weeds do not matter, but because the wheat does. And if you pull it up too soon, you could destroy what God is intending to mature. Right? Jesus says there's a problem. When they sprout, the weed and the wheat look very similar. And not only do they look very similar, their roots are intertwined. And if you pull it too early, you might destroy what God is trying to mature. Because God is showing patience. He's delaying judgment. Going on, the disciples come back to him and they ask, can you explain all of this to us? And he answered, the one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed stands for the people of the kingdom. The weeds are the people of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. When the harvest is at the end of the harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are angels. As the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. They will throw them into the blazing furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Whoever has ears, let them hear. Understand this. Jesus is not naive about evil. There is a very real enemy. There is corruption that is happening in the field. But yet, somehow, God waits. And it brings that question, right? If God is good, why does he wait? Because our assumption, and so many people assume, well, if God is waiting, if God's not answering, then God is indifferent. Or God is not concerned. Or maybe even God is not there. But Peter gives us a little bit different picture. All right, and this is the promise that we're trying to memorize this week. It's from 2 Peter. It says, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, but is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. What's so fascinating is the people of Israel longed for God to come and judge. Because they were the ones who were oppressed. They were the ones who were wronged. And they wanted God to show up so that they could be set free. But there's something dangerous that happens when you are the oppressed and then you become the powerful. Because that's what happened for Israel. Is they went from this oppression to this powerful kingdom. And then they started to oppress others. And when you are in that place of power, you always want judgment to come faster than when you are not. God, why don't you do something about them? And Israel longed for God to come and make the world right. They wanted God to come and judge the world. And the world wants judgment faster than the kingdom. The world wants to judge, and to judge quickly, and to judge finally. And if I'm honest, I want God's judgment to come quickly. Unless I am the one who has been unjust. I want God's judgment to come quickly. Unless I am the one who has been unjust. When you get to stand up here and do this week after week after week after week, it's really easy to become critical of other people who do this every week. Just be honest. And there have been times in my life where I will look at other preachers or I hear a sermon and my heart, not out loud, of course, this is in my head, but to think, that wasn't really from a place of depth. That was pretty shallow. That wasn't very prayerful. And to make judgments about them. But if I'm really honest, there are many times when I have made those judgments when my heart is not in a really good place either. I'm still preaching. I'm still studying. I'm still showing up. But if I'm honest, I'm not hungering and thirsting after Jesus. And it's so much easier for me to give myself grace than it is to extend that same grace to other people. Can you relate? Do you find it a lot easier to extend grace to yourself and then be harsh towards others? To judge them really with a different standard than the way we look at ourselves? Because here's the honest truth. If God had acted on my timetable during that season, there might have been the chance that the grace that was growing in me during that time was destroyed. If God showed up just the way I want Him to, at just the time I wanted to, the problem might not have been that the weeds were destroyed around me, but that the wheat didn't grow as it should. Because we can assume delay in judgment from God is just simply indifference. God not seeing, God not noticing, God not hearing. But what if the delay is actually compassion? What if God delaying justice is actually compassion and mercy extended to us when we need it the most. The truth of the story, of the parable, though, is that evil does not get the last word. That Jesus does. And that the harvest is still coming. But God is patiently waiting for the wheat to be able to grow and mature so that it can produce what it needs to produce. Right, first week we talked about this caricature really of judgment that we had maybe growing up where God is seated on this throne. You come stand before Him. He has this long list of everything that you've ever done. And then based on what you've done, you either go sit on a cloud with a harp for all of eternity or you're thrown into the fiery pit. But Scripture tells a much different story. That the judgment is not God angry and losing control, but it's God putting the world right. It's God restoring the world to what it was intended to be. It's God saying no, a final no to evil, to death, to decay, to destruction, to sin. And simply saying, evil does not get the final word. God does. But we live in the age where the wheat and the weeds are growing together. And it's so easy to look at the world and see everything wrong and to judge and want God to show up and act now. But maybe the kingdom grows slowly now so that more can belong to it later. You remember several weeks ago, I had a big pot and I set it up here on stage and I planted some sequoia trees, seeds, and then we watered it and then we said we were going to wait for it to grow, right? Longest sermon ever, remember? So after that sermon, Doug Parsons came up to me. He said, what are you going to do with that tree? I said, well, I guess I'm going to throw it out. And as Doug would do, if you know Doug, he said, I want it. I said, okay, what are you going to do with it? I'm going to plant it in my backyard. Okay. That could be a problem. He said, not for me. It'll be a problem for someone else 50 years from now. When I no longer live there. Because that's the truth about the sequoias. Is they grow really, really slowly. It takes time for them to reach that height. But something that you might miss is the sequoias grow together. And they rely on each other because their roots intertwine together. The only way they can reach the heights that they reach is that they're interwoven with their root system with other sequoias around them. Otherwise, they would simply fall over. They would not be able to withstand. So the question for us this morning, I think, is simply how do we, as the people of God, continue to live in the field, waiting for the harvest, while the weeds and the wheat still grow together. Because abiding means that we're trusting the farmer more than we're trusting the field. And we're trusting that it's not your responsibility, it's not my responsibility to fix it. I'll just say I'm not getting rid of my weed torch. But I do know that I am learning to be more patient with others. Because I want God to be patient with me. And I still get anxious when evil remains. But I think the reason I get anxious is because it reveals what I am rooted in. Remember back to week one, we said judgment reveals the story we have chosen to abide in. And judgment is simply at the end God saying, okay, if you want all of this, I guess you can have it. But if you want something different, if you want something that is life-giving, if you want something that will feed your soul and cleanse you and make you whole, then there's a better way. Come, follow me. And it's not a story of control. It's not a story of cultural dominance. It's not a story of immediate justice. It is the patient story of the kingdom of God at work in this world. Growing slowly, steadily, through his people. See, understand, in the story, it's not just that you and I are a part of the servants in the picture. We are also the wheat. We are still being grown by God into the people he has called us to be. And you are being transformed day after day through God's patience and through his grace. Continuing to be shaped. Maybe you're frustrated. Maybe you're frustrated with someone in your life. Maybe you're frustrated at the world. Maybe you're frustrated with the church. Maybe you're frustrated with yourself. But my prayer is that we could be the kind of church that does not panic when the kingdom is growing slowly. That we could understand that the kingdom was never meant to just explode. That it would be like a seed planted in a ground. Or yeast worked into the dough. It doesn't divide when things are messy. It doesn't rush to label and remove, but just simply people who trust in the farmer. Because as I said, we aren't just servants. We are the wheat. And we trust the farmer more than the field. Father, we thank you for this time. God, we are grateful to be able to gather in your name. And Father, I pray that you would forgive us. Forgive us when we judge too quickly. Forgive us when we don't extend the same grace to others that we extend to ourselves. And Father, help us. Help us to see that we are still wheat growing in the field. Maturing. And Father, that this is not a delay because you don't care. But Father, so often compassion and mercy because there is still so much within us that needs to mature. Father, thank you. Thank you for extending your grace and your mercy to your people. And Father, help us to always see that you are the way, the truth, and the life. May we today abide in you. and find our life planted in Jesus. We pray in His name. Amen.